All right, welcome people who are live. Episode, I believe this is episode number 4 for the Supreme Being podcast that I finally started on my own. And before we get into it, it is first of all sponsored by Team BC, my real estate team, which can help you here in Southern California, buying, selling, investing in real estate. And also we have connections worldwide if you need any help with real estate and you're listening to this. Also, my Modern Success Program is another sponsor, which is my personal coaching and mentorship program for anybody and everybody who wants to improve in all areas of life. As of this moment, we've been having more than one person join a day. The movement is growing. Visit briancasella.com to access all the information, including Modern Success and my real estate team. Okay, so let's begin. So in this episode, this is the night before I'm going to Vegas for where you have like a small conference for EXP, the brokerage. It's a real estate company, if you're not aware. And if you're thinking about making a move and you're a real estate agent, go ahead and message me and we can help you out with that if you're interested. And we're going to be there for about 3 days learning. Obviously, the company's still new. And it's something that I realized that I have to focus on now because I see the potential in it to not only help grow my business, but my other business as well, right? And that's something I want to talk about today on the podcast is focus, right? People do not understand how precious your focus is. Imagine if every single person out there looked at focus like I look at it and a lot of top people do. This is something that top people have in common. I've heard it from all of them, whether they've taught it or they've exhibited this. Focus to them is precious. They're aware of it all the time. They do not let it go to waste ever. Okay? This is something you need to look at. So if any of you out there are watching this and you're an avid video gamer and you're playing 5, 10, 15 hours a week, you are, oh man, you are wasting your precious focus on a screen that takes you nowhere. Okay? On the flip side, if you're somebody who does that and you monetize it and you make money, bravo, you're being very intelligent. And that's the way you do it. Okay? How about The Bachelor and soap operas and Netflix and all this other shit that just eats away at people's focus? Then, this is the trippy part. Now you're patterning your focus to be a certain way, right? People don't really think about this. I'm now patterning my focus to be this passive, mindless activity. So now, let's say I want to start a business and my focus is required to be active and take action. Guess how much more difficult it's going to be now when I've had this pattern of having this level of focus that's so little, right? Where all I need to do is set my eyes on it and that's the focus. Now I'm getting into a new activity that's high intensity. It requires my attention. I have to move physically. I have to be there mentally. Whoa. Then people wonder why they hit a brick wall when they want to start a business or do all this other stuff. Because then emotions come into place and all this other stuff that you weren't even aware of because you've literally been wasting your focus on a mindless, brainless activity. So when we look at the subject of focus, you have to become aware of it. Right? The next time you catch yourself, because you won't catch yourself at first, okay? This is step one. When you catch yourself, use that and say it to yourself and say, what am I using my focus for right now? Am I really utilizing my focus to its maximum potential to help me? Every single thing that you do has to move you forward. There are no activities that we do that take up our focus that move us backwards. Take a note of that because too many people are engaged in activities with their focus that take away from the path that they want to go on, right? Let's say somebody is in the moment right now, let's say last month or let's say yesterday, they said, man, I'm going to commit to improving my physique and my overall health. I want a six pack. I want this. I want that. Any moment they are consuming alcohol, any moment they're eating cake, any moment they're straying away from the path of what gets them there, whether it's mental, physical, or anything else, now that focus is being used on the wrong thing. And it's actually eating away at them and taking away from their potential and where they can go. So in that moment of, you can say, weakness, where they are eating the cake, where's their focus? Their focus is entirely in the moment on the satisfaction, okay? This is the next step we have to do with focus is now we have to aim our focus at the right thing. If you aim your focus at just short term, woo, you're going to have a lot of problems. My focus primarily, okay, now the more advanced stuff I'm going to share with Modern Success. I know some of you are on here. I'm going to give you some deep shit in the next coming weeks about this, okay? But for the podcast, we'll keep it very basic. We'll give you some foundational knowledge to start with, okay? Obviously, you want the perfect harmony of short and long-term. However, if I had to pick one, I would pick long-term, and this is why. Many of you are goal-oriented. We're taught to be goal-oriented. We're taught to move forward and go after the things that we want. However, everybody knows when we are in that mode of going after something, what's inevitable in that process? Well, challenges, obstacles, emotions, people going against you, people betraying you, your trust, clients screwing you over, whatever you want to call it. Maybe you're on the diet, right? And your long-term goal is to be 150 pounds and now you're 200. Then all of a sudden, 2 months in, you get diagnosed with a thyroid problem. And now it's infinitely more difficult for you to lose weight. So if in that moment you get diagnosed with that problem and you only focus on the short term, you're thinking my life is over, I can't do this. But if I focus on the long term of that ideal body or physique that I want or mental state, I can say, you know what, this is a big challenge and obstacle. However, is it possible for me to still get through this and make it? Well, yeah. Yeah, because I know a lot of people who have thyroid problems who still look good. Now, they have to be much more meticulous about their diet and exercise routines. However, it's possible. And when you begin to ask your mind the right question from the perspective of the long-term focus, now we're getting somewhere. Now we're able to stay on the path. Okay? Imagine you're walking a path, and the end of the path, let's say it's the entrance of a tunnel over there, and you're focused on that, right? You see the path. Now, when you look only short term, where are your eyes? Your eyes are down. So you're saying, man, you know, I can't even see the end. Where are we going? We're just going to keep walking and walking and walking. And that causes frustration and all this other stuff. This is why people in moments of anxiety or whatever, their world simply closes in. And what is the focus put on this feeling, this emotion right now? That's a problem. That's an issue that people need to begin to become aware of first. Second, reprogram. I use my mind as a tool, by the way. So when you're in these moments, if you ask your mind the right question, man, you'll literally figure it out. That's how strong your mind is that we're taught to ask the wrong questions. We're taught the opposite. We're taught excuses. We're taught lies. We're taught this and we're taught that. So let's say I am feeling anxiety, like the example. I may even say, why am I feeling this right now? And let's say, well, you lost a deal. Okay. Well, is my life really over? Your mind's going to say, well, no. Because if you ask yourself questions before your mouth opens up, your subconscious mind answers. Like when I'm saying those questions, is my life over? Right when I finish it, I already hear, quote, my mind saying, no, my life is not over. Because that's logic. In the moment of feeling emotional, you're going to be like, yeah, my life is over, nah, 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 and you're going to feel miserable. And then you're going to be the butt of people's jokes. You're going to be, like I said in the last podcast, the average. How would the average, and then that's another question I can ask, which adds on to the previous podcast. How would the elite person respond right now? How would the average person respond right now? And then I have my answer and I know where to go. So we have to now utilize this more, especially in those moments of momentary crisis where we feel the emotion or whatever it is, or maybe you're struggling to now align your focus into the right things. We don't want to be, well, I'm focusing on this right now and I'm stuck on it, right? When your mind is stuck on something and glued on something, case in point, for the people who get a song stuck in their head, right? Over and over and over and over. That's a precursor to something much worse. If you yourself get a song temporarily stuck in your head for a little bit, that's fine. But if you're driving yourself crazy all day, that tells me and the world and yourself and your psyche that you literally have no control over your mind. So if that is being stuck in your mind, what other garbage, what other bullshit is being stuck in your mind that you're not even aware of? You see, so that's an indicator right now. When that happens, because it's funny, somebody randomly sent me, because I'm 32 now, right? And like when I was growing up in middle school, that's when like all the boy bands came out, like NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, and everybody's going crazy. And even though I didn't at that time listen to that music, it was played so much that to this day, I know every fucking word to all those songs because I heard them all the time, right? So even back then, I remember being literally almost driven crazy because I would have those songs stuck in my head. I'm like, get out. Like, I don't want to be fucking listening to these boy bands in my mind all the time. Now, I may hear it. It might activate a memory. I might hear the song, but I can shut it off pretty quickly. You know, within a couple seconds or a minute, it's out. I'm not thinking about it anymore, right? Because I'm at a different level mentally now. I remember back in the day just being like, oh my God, like all I do is I keep hearing and seeing these guys all the time. Like, I was literally driving myself crazy. But in that moment, if I started asking myself the right questions and changing my focus, because where's your focus at that moment? On what's going on in your mind. So now that intensifies. You've heard the saying from Anthony Robbins, where focus goes, energy flows. So now if I start focusing on my mind in that song, and it gets worse and worse and worse, because now you're picturing it and you're putting all your senses into it now. You're hearing it, you're seeing it, right? It's like you can almost feel that they're there in your presence singing, and you're like, ah. So now instead of that, I would focus on something else. Be like, okay, cool, whatever. I have the song playing in my head. I'm going to focus on something else, right? I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And it's gone, right? Like when I, this is the cool part about having rituals, right? When I go box, man, it's great. Everything shuts off and I'm focused. Boom. And I'd be sure to focus only on the workout, no other outside shit, the phone, music, drama, gossip, my business, whatever is going on in my life. It ends, boom, I'm there. So that's kind of like a, we create little sanctuaries, you can say, for ourselves. Like my office is a sanctuary. The boxing gym for me in that area is a sanctuary, right? Do you guys have sanctuaries where you can go and be at ease and maybe meditate and have an environment where when you enter the environment, it's like your safe space? Not safe in the sense that you're weak and you need it, but when you go there, everything is set up for you. The scent is set up for you. The visual is set up for you. The temperature is set up for you. The level of comfort is set up for you. You have books there, whatever it is that gives you that, your own ritualistic space to do what you want to do. I could literally live in my office. If I took all my books to my office, I'd be good there in my own little office. Give me a bed and a shower, I'm good. Right? The house and all the other stuff that I have, more than anything, is a mode of inspiration for me to stretch outside of my comfort zone and go to the next level. Do I really need to live in a house that's fucking like 6 bedrooms and like 5,000 square feet with this and that? Like, I don't know if you guys can hear a little fountain outside. I don't need that, but there's a reason I'm doing it. However, there's certain spots in this house, my office, the boxing gym, that are my little sanctuary. So now we begin to put things into place to now aid us in this, not only transition, but the further fortifying of these habits, asking yourself the right questions and having yourself in the right mental state. What's the first thing that happens when you become fixated on these things, like the song being stuck in your head or any of these situations that temporarily will pop up? What's the first thing that happens? All your focus goes into it, and then your emotions flare. Okay? Then you focus on the emotion, then it intensifies, and then, you know, you start going downhill, which is what most people do. People who prescribe and subscribe to drama are always talking about it when they describe their dramas and how bad their life is. Look how emotional and animated they get about it. But when you try to go out and have a good time with them, they're fucking miserable. They can't go out. We can't go out to like a bar and get a table or a club and rent out a table and have a good time with them. They'll just be sitting there like this. It's pathetic. But then if I'm like, man, if I walk up to them, dude, you won't believe the shitty day that I had. They'll light up and be like, oh my God, no, you have no idea. My day was the worst. And then they're into it. Because that's where their focus is. But if I went out, I'm like, cool, I'm here with my friends. We have a table. We're going to have a good time. My focus is here to enjoy. Boom, it's different. Most people who go out, for example, and are miserable, their focus is on something else, not on what's going on and not on their life. So as we begin to look at this more from different angles, you see this out. So now you can come from a perspective of going out and seeing this. This aids you in social situations. So when I go out, right, I know most people are not in a good state. Their focus is everywhere else. I want them to focus on me, the moment, and what I'm talking about, because that is going to do what? Elevate their mood. And all of you follow me and you want to know, hey, how can I be more persuasive, influential, whatever? Do this. Make people feel incredible when they're around you, and God, you will be an indispensable thing for people, which is why people love having me around, right? I'm just like a ball of energy. Everybody laughs. Everybody has a good time. So whether you even come into the situation saying, I don't like this guy. I don't like the way he looks. I don't like the way he talks. Spend time with me. And that's going to change very quickly. And that makes you deadly as a person. Not deadly in the sense that you're going to karate chop people. Deadly in the sense that people, you will be irresistible to people. Now, how do you do that? I focus on it, right? Let's have a good time. I'm not focused on, fuck, man, I had a shitty day today, and now I'm going to go out. And that's how people say, oh, man, I had a hell of a day. I'm going to go out and have a drink now, and I'm going to drink my sorrows away. So where's the focus on? The sorrows of the day. Instead of, let's go out and have a good time and create a new moment, create a good time, and do this thing. This goes back to the saying of what I was telling you about looking, right? The night and what unfolds can be the end of the path. all the bullshit from earlier in the day, and that all those moments leading up to where they're at is looking down. And you want to always be looking ahead. You want to look up. Imagine driving and looking down. Recipe for disaster, right? So no matter which way you look at it, you see the consistencies here in what I'm talking about, right? So focus, again, focus requires energy, by the way. So when you look at it that way, even though you can yourself generate energy, you literally have an abundance of energy, you still throughout the day, right, at the end, will have to recharge. No matter who you are, you're still going to have to go to sleep a little bit, you know, eat right and do all this other stuff. So knowing that now, that my focus can either make me or break me, lead me to progress or lead me backwards, and it requires energy. Now I'm going to start looking at this as a little bit more precious than just this thing that I give out to anybody. Why do you think people of high notoriety out in public don't give their time and talk to every single person when they go out? It's not because they're a dick. It's because their focus and energy is precious and they need to use it. How do you think they're going to feel? What are they going to accomplish if they stop every single fucking day and talk to 300 people that want to stop them on the street? Even when I get approached, sometimes I can't. I'm in a rush or whatever. I'm like, you know what, dude? I'm in a rush. Boom. That's it. I'll give them that. But now it's, oh man, that person's a dick and da, da, da. No, he's not. He just has his focus and energy on something else. And when you look at it that way, you don't fall into this trap that everybody else falls into. You're living on a different plane, you can call it, right? You can say most people are on this level. Now you've leveled up to this one. And when you're up here, you can look down and see what's going on from a different perspective, not fall into these traps that you actually see. Then you're going to be amongst peers that you'll find at your level. Because when you go out in public, it's like if you go out in the jungle, lions understand that there's other lions and they can spot them. They can see cheetah. They can see deer. We do the same thing. You think people of power and respect and high ability to communicate and all that can't see that and notice it very quickly in other people? Why is it that when I go out, I magically meet all the fucking managers of the restaurants and meet good people and all the top people that are supposed to be there? Why is it? It's not my fucking surprise. It's because I put in my work in, I know where my focus is, and I've gotten to the level where now those are my peers. But if you listen to me or anybody else, you want to make these improvements and you still go out and live your life like this bottom level, then nothing's ever going to change for you. That's why at the same time, I appreciate when people look at myself and other people as a mode of like inspiration or motivation. Your focus cannot be on that. It has to be well beyond that. You have to understand that the focus needs to be, how much information can I extract from these people and apply immediately to now better my life? That's it. If the byproduct is inspiration and motivation, cool. But when you take that and you label somebody as that, man, you're literally cutting them off at the knees, literally. And you're paralyzing yourself. Because what do people consider motivation, inspiration? Hoorah, ha, 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 get up off your ass and work. Yeah, I feel good, blah, blah, blah. That's not what I do. The byproduct of the stories that I say and how I teach makes you feel good, of course. I just ooze that. But there's gold and information being taught that you can apply and see big changes with. So it's another example of your focus. If your focus is on the wrong thing, even listening to me, how many people listen to me and aren't even fucking paying attention because their focus is on how shitty of a day they had or their kid or their cat or something else? Shit. When I go out, right? Or when I have an event, I still see people at the event, even on the Zoom, on their fucking phones. I'm like, what are you doing on your phone? Now, I don't care. It doesn't offend me. But that tells me, dude, your focus, it's in the wrong place. You paid to be here and you're on your fucking phone. What are you doing? You couldn't wait? You're so fucking, oh, I need to look at Facebook, or oh, I need to look at this. Really? So focusing on that's more important than focusing on something that's going to better your life. That tells me why you're in the position that you're in. Period. Right? Now, this is a topic we can freaking talk about all day. So see it for what it is. Look at it, right? Focus is something that's swept under the rug. Oh yeah, I know what focusing is. I do it all the time. Well, no, you don't. No, you don't. And if you do, you're focusing on the wrong thing. If you're wasting away your life fucking watching novelas and fucking playing PS4 all day, man, what a waste. And this, the misuse of this is how you see some people who are extremely talented end up being nothing. I know so many people I can name off that probably their base level of talent, right? Like in sales and business activities and that were much higher than mine out of the gate. And I destroyed them because their focus was everywhere and they didn't understand these fundamental basics that I grabbed onto and mastered, right? Look at look at so many people who were even athletes who weren't the most blessed athletes, but because they mastered the fundamentals, man, they go very far, right? Like if any of your boxing fans, Bernard Hopkins, right? Not physically gifted really at all, but fought until he was 50. And I mean, he held his middleweight title for what, 15, 16 years? That's incredible. He was 45, 46, 47, kicking the ass of people that were 25, who they themselves at 25 were athletically gifted, and he would whoop their ass. So that goes to show, it's not all about natural talent a lot of the times. Some people naturally will be able to focus easier. I'm an athlete, so it comes easier to me. However, that can also spill over into the wrong area, where I do focus on video games and all that idiotic stuff. The overconsumption of that stuff and over-focusing on those things, okay? Because I know people who play video games are going to get offended. Oh, you're anti-gamer, Brian. What the hell? I'm not. If you want to play video games, go for it. I used to play them all the time. You have to just be aware of how much time is being put onto those activities, all right? So I'll kind of transition off the subject now. You know, it's something that I could talk about for days, and I think you guys now listening have a general consensus and idea of what I mean, right? We have to put more awareness. Awareness is the key word I'm going to throw around constantly, because it's the missing piece, I believe, in a lot of people's lives. A lot of people, for 24 hours a day, they're unaware, obviously, because you're sleeping 6, 7, 8 hours or whatever. And of those 16 hours that they're living, I would probably, if I stopped everybody and said, well, you know, it's 10 p.m., you're about to go to sleep, what did you do today and how much do you remember? And if people struggle to answer that question, that tells me they're floating throughout their days and they're not really aware of what's going on. When's the last time you guys got in your car and drove from point A to point B and it was 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes and I asked you, what do you remember about the drive? And you don't remember shit. That means you're floating. You can at least be listening to this podcast or a podcast. Oh, I listened to this podcast. I learned this, this, this. Boom. Now you're aware. Up your awareness. You will up your income, up your confidence, up your life, and you'll up your ability to focus. If most of the time you're a zombie and you're not really aware, when you really need your awareness, how are you going to use it? It's something that you're not using. All it takes is a little bit of brain power. And eventually when it becomes unconsciously competent, meaning you don't have to think about it anymore, it will be your automatic mode of living. Okay? So, for those of you who are live, you can post your questions at any time and I'll answer them here at the end. I'll be wrapping up in a couple minutes. You know, going to Vegas, by the way, if you guys are in Vegas, one or two of the nights I'll probably be out and about, maybe meeting people at a place. Maybe I'll just pick a venue and say, hey, I'll be here with a couple people. If you guys want to come say hi, you're welcome. I forget what, we're staying at a hotel to do this EXP thing at a place outside. It's not right on the strip. I think it's like a block or two over, but we'll head to the strip probably. Other than that, let's see. There was a question that I received from somebody outside of the podcast. I'm trying to remember because I thought it was a great question and I wanted to answer it, but I'm forgetting it right now. We'll do this. We'll go back to what I was talking about and expand a little bit on being irresistible to people. You know what the best part about what I told you? Like if you go out and you attract people that way, you don't need money to do that, right? You don't need any social status. You don't need shit to do that. You need some skills. That's it. Some skills and experience. So many people say, well, I want to meet the high-level CEOs. I want to rub elbows with good people, this and that. Well, there you go. Communication. That's it. Up your communication. Focus and say, I'm going to become a better communicator. I'm going to get a lot of experience. I'm going to practice. That way, when you're in the room with all the big dogs, boom, you're comfortable. Most people are very socially awkward and they have no idea what they're doing. So if I focus on being not a puppet for people or a clown to entertain, but a genuinely interesting person with a cool story and I'm fun to be around, right? And I make the environment more pleasant, you're good to go. You don't even have to be extraordinary. If you can sit there and tell a good story for 5 minutes, you got it. When's the last time any of you went out and somebody tells a story and just like, dude, shut the fuck up. You're boring. You can't even tell a story about an exciting event. You took an exciting event and you made it horrible. Congratulations. You're the most boring storyteller on the planet. Go kill yourself. That's most people. That is most people. Absolutely. Today, I went to, there's a little vegan spot by my house that I go to and they have like a little, kind of like a salad bar type thing. It's like a little where you can make orders and then make little smoothies and stuff. It's vegan, so I like it. And I go there and there's two or three people waiting for their food. And, you know, one is an attractive woman, another one is a couple, and then another one was a guy that I've seen before, right? And I ended up talking to all three of those people. And the guy that I knew, he's still, like, his natural state is kind of awkward. But with me, he's okay because he's already seen me and he kind of knows me. So he's not as awkward. He went from, like, a level 10 awkward to, like, 6. So he's still pretty awkward. But the couple and the girl who was actually pretty, the girl who was pretty was the most awkward one out of all of them, right? Like, can't make eye contact, like, horrible. And then the couple, pretty bad too. Now, I stayed there and talked to them for a little bit, right? And I think I told them how I know some of the staff and some funny stuff, and everybody laughed. Now, I guarantee you, in that moment, right, I could have kept talking to them a little bit more if I really wanted to and befriended them, and they would have been like, okay, this person's really cool, and they would have wanted me to stick around. So for all of you who are looking at meeting new people, that's a great way to do it, right? I'm not saying go out and do it all the time, but get your practice in, because now if I want to start building a customer base, building eyeballs for my social media, that's the way you do it. You interact with people. And the more you do that, it goes back to what I told you in the beginning. Your focus is on that. You're going to get good. You're going to become more entertaining. You're naturally going to break out of your own shell, right? And this is a theory that I have. I don't know if I'm right. I believe that nobody really is shy and introvert and all that. You just have so many fucking layers over you based on society's conditioning, family, and how we were raised, that at your natural state, we're not necessarily afraid to interact with people, right? If you approach a stranger initially, you might be a little bit nervous, of course, because that's hardwiring from the fucking caveman days because of danger, right? We still haven't evolved from that DNA-wise and genetically. But still, right? Like, imagine when you're at home, these people who are shy and introvert with their family just talking, and then you put them, you know, in an environment that is different and they can't say anything. They're like, oh man, I don't know how to talk to people. What? You're at home with your mom all the time talking. So, and I can continue this on the next podcast because this is, you know, social dynamics and that kind of stuff is a topic people are very interested in. Basically what I'm saying is focus on the right things. And this is how I'll wrap it up. Too many people have their focus spread around 100 fucking things. Focus on one or two and give it your all. When I started in real estate, my focus was real estate and getting very good at social dynamics, right? Getting good at speaking to people, working the environment, becoming a better storyteller, delivery, because those things together were going to help me tremendously in everything that I wanted to do. So I focused on those two things and those two things alone. That's it. That's it. I wasn't trying to be a painter, an artist, an engineer, a plumber, selling stuff on Amazon and this crazy entrepreneur. I did not. Now you're seeing a transition. Now I'm focusing on social media and that kind of stuff, but the focus is still always on one or two things. It's not this crazy, oh, I want 13 streams of income. I'm like, okay, how many do you have now? Well, none. Okay, then build one. That's it. That's another fallacy. If you don't even have one strong stream of income yet, forget the other ones. If you have 13 streams of income and they're all $30 a month, you're failing, dude. Get one up to 5, 6, 7,000. Okay, now we can start working on another one. Sure. Make sure that one is strong. But your focus is too spread thin, man. Remember, focus is like, it's not an infinite thing, right? We have a finite amount we can use every day for a finite amount of time. Let's utilize it to the maximum. Let's squeeze every drop of juice out of it. Let's not let it go to waste. I don't want to fill up, you know, 5,000 shot glasses. I want to fill up one big bucket. Boom. There we go. Once you guys start doing this and you can apply this a little bit on a higher level, you'll start to see the changes. But it requires that you buckle down first and say, I'm going to focus on one or two things. It could be my health and my business. Boom. That's it. Boom, 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 boom. You consume and study material related to it, but your focus is on those things. Now you're going to build some momentum. Okay. You're going to be able to strip away all those chains holding you back because you're constantly looking like this. Boom. Eye on the prize, you go. All right. If you guys have questions, I'll open it up to questions now because I don't want to veer too far off and talk about 100 topics on one podcast episode. I always have a lot to say, but I'll keep it short on this one. Wednesday, I believe I'll be able to do the episode. I'm not sure yet because I'll be in Vegas. If I have to, maybe I'll jump on earlier and do it, but I for sure will do it. And you'll be getting the links if you want to tune in live. Any questions? I'll give it a minute. Going once, going twice. Could be anything, guys, even if it's not related to the material. Any question? How's eXp Realty? Good talk today, Brian. Staying focused is key. eXp is amazing, right? I don't want to turn this into a sales pitch, but eXp is phenomenal. You know, it's been nothing but positive for us since we moved from Keller Williams. What I will say is if anybody wants more information, I can kind of send you a video where it'll break down the company and the structure and all that much better than I can, because it's made by one of the top people in it. That would be the best way for somebody to learn more about it. However, my personal experience has been nothing but great. Right, the cloud-based brokerage is good. Every time we log on the cloud and we need to ask questions or do something, there's no problem. They're very responsive. It's really great. There's a lot of online training. It's just been nothing but positive, you know? Oh, you're talking about L. Ron Hubbard, Angela? Yeah. Not Charles. It's L. Ron Hubbard. If you're talking about the same person, it's fine. To your self-approach. Yeah, you know, he's a brilliant guy. You know, he got flamed a lot because especially like Scientology and the church and all those crazy ass people. But I never bought into that or promoted that. I tell people just, you know, get into the information. L. Ron Hubbard's very smart. I haven't dove too deep into his stuff, right? I've read some books and I'm getting my feet wet. However, all the stuff that he offered and taught, I'm just scratching the surface, right? And I think I've learned a lot from it. And I think it's very applicable to people's lives. A lot of people, because of the negative stigma around him and Scientology, they stay away from him, but that's an advantage for you guys who listen to this. I would say put that aside if you were taught that and go after this information and take a look and see what it does for you. You know, it's like Bruce Lee said, take in information, retain what's good, discard what you don't use. Awesome YouTube video on the CRM answered a lot of my questions. My question for you in regards to the 80-20 rule, what have you seen for prospecting to be the best or most lucrative? Man, I mean, everything falls under cold calling and door knocking, dude. You know, expireds, FSBOs, the whole versatility of it and using all methods, right? Sphere of influence, but all that falls under cold calling and door knocking, especially if you're in your beginning stages, Johnny. I would say that's the way to go. Now, if you've already kind of seasoned, you're getting a lot of business from prospecting, cold calling, now you can start going into the marketing side and putting some money into Facebook and reinvesting back in your business. However, the best bang for your buck and to get people some momentum and get them started, I'm always going to say cold calling and door knocking. And I believe as time goes on, it'll be even more important because the human-to-human connection as time goes on is being lost. So if you get really good at that, then there's always going to be a big chunk of the market ready for you. I'm still waiting to take my exam. Cool. Yeah, then you're good to go. Then you're already kind of starting off on the right foot. You know, unfortunately, some people who don't follow me and don't find me until later, they start listening to other people and then they're 6 months or a year in and they're about to quit and then they start going after my stuff. And then they're like, oh man, I wish I would have found you earlier. You're going to cover archetypes. Yes, for sure. I can cover archetypes in a lot of senses, from business to clients, and also like when you go out, right, in public, like the rock star archetype, the bad boy, and that kind of stuff. You're welcome, Johnny. For sure, I'll be covering archetypes. You know, one thing I want to comment that I've seen, people say, especially a lot of women, they always say they love to go on or do adventures. And I'm always like, what the fuck does that mean? I see a lot of girls say that. I've been seeing it a lot lately, like people posting it on Instagram or, you know, Facebook on their profiles, like, oh, adventure seeker, or I love adventures. It's like, I just always thought that was funny. I'm actually planning on going with Signature Realty and love that James Shelby. Oh yeah, James is great, man. Him and Christian work there. Great dudes. They're really cool dudes. If you can work there, man, and even have them help you out a little bit or even offer you any kind of guidance, dude, that would be gold. They're stand-up dudes and they're really good. They're very productive. They're strong agents and they have the same mindset that I have as far as cold calling, door knocking, and building a business the old school way. Definitely good guys. Yeah. All right, guys, I'll end it here. As always, sponsored by Team BC. If you guys need anything with real estate, let me know. If you're not on Modern Success, go to briancosella.com. You can check out my products and you can go to the coaching tab and get on Modern Success. Other than that, thank you guys. We'll be back on Wednesday at the same time at 7 p.m. with a new topic. Okay, this will be uploaded and it should be on all the platforms within the next 24 hours. All right, thank you guys for being here. See you on the next one.